Thursday, Kundasang, Kota Kinabalu. Upon hearing the call to prayer, leapt out of bed, fresh as a daisy. Not really, at around 5 a.m. for 6:45 a.m. departure to Kundasang War Memorial. We travelled the very short distance by minibus, all clad in our orange death march shirts. The war memorial lies in the shadow of the brooding bulk of Mount Kinabalu, the highest mountain in Southeast Asia. The peak, when visible, is bare, craggy, forbidding-looking granite. Upon arrival in the Australian Pavilion, Gary and Bob both placed framed photos with others of their uncle and cousin. The pavilion is a bright, spacious area with floor-to-ceiling windows, which seem to bring the outside inside. Kundasang War Memorial comprises a series of garden rooms, and at the top level, in the contemplation garden, we held a poignant ceremony. Each person had a specific task to perform in the order of service. The ceremony commenced with Barry playing Highland Cathedral, and as the echo of the pipes drifted away, Darren recited the Ode of Remembrance. The flags were raised by Tum, Malaysian flag, Joe, New Zealand flag, Max, British flag, Gary, Australian flag, and Basil, the Sabah flag. We formed a line on either side of the pool of reflection, and as we placed a rose in the water, one by one, spoke our soldier's name. Finally, we burned gum leaves, wattle and rosemary in a small brazier and stood in contemplation as the scent of the Australian bush permeated throughout that beautiful but solemn place. Afterwards, we were free to wander and explore the memorial itself. We bought a coleus and planted it in the Australian garden in memory of our soldiers. The entire complex had become tired and shabby over a period of time, but in recent years has been brought back to life by a wonderful man called Sevi, who has made this his retirement project, sinking a great deal of his own funds into the restoration. Much gratitude and many accolades must go to him. Below is a poem found at the memorial. 30 days hath September, April, June and November. February is all right. It only rains from morn till night. All the rest have 31, without a single day of sun. And if any month had 32, they'd be bloody raining too. Our baggage onto the minibuses, and we were on our way back to Kota Kinabalu. Is it really only 1 week since we were there? The drive from Kundasang down to KK felt like a descent from the top of the world. We wound our way ever downwards in completely insane traffic through magnificent vistas of mountains, clouds and green, green jungle. Partway down, we stopped at a small local market and made some purchases. The prices were extremely good. Checked into Hyatt Regency KK. We're on the 14th floor and have a comfortable room of more than ample proportions. Our room at the longhouse would fit in the space that just the beds take up in this one. Spent the afternoon settling in and relaxing. Barry cleaned the trekking boots, found a couple of living specimens in Joe's, while Joe caught up with Journal. Freshened up, changed clothes and went walking. As it was just on dark, all the roadside food vendors were doing brisk business. Many varied and colourful foods were on offer. There were lights, music, people, traffic and noise everywhere we went. Weather bloody hot. Had a meal at Texas Bar and Grill close to hotel. Sat outside on first floor balcony with view of the sea. Staff friendly, meal good and very reasonably priced. Very early start tomorrow. Flight to Labuan Island. Time now, 10 p.m. Wednesday, Kota Kinabalu, Labuan. A very long day. It began at 3:30 a.m. with preparations for breakfast before departing hotel at 5:45 a.m. to travel to KK Airport for the 40-minute flight to Labuan Island. herded en masse onto aircraft, and we were airborne by 7:30 a.m. The view of Kota Kinabalu as we ascended was a rewarding one. The city is quite spread out, larger than one would expect, and the expansion and growth is obvious and ongoing. The visit to Labuan War Cemetery. This, for me, was the culmination of the trek. The neatly spaced headstones of the prisoners of Sandakan. Here they all were, resting together for eternity. The names and their stories that we now know so well laid out before our eyes. Many of the soldiers have never been individually identified, but at least their families now know that their last resting place is here. A lesser-known truth is that around 3,000 of the local native population of Borneo lost their lives at the hands of the Japanese, a statistic that should never be overlooked. We visited the pavilion where every name has been recorded on polished black panels, as large numbers of bodies were never identified. We took a number of photos here, among them the name of Sue Beckman's uncle, driver Jack Lester, aged 38 years. Our next port of call was Surrender Point, where the Japanese surrender was signed on the 9th of September, 1945. It was the Australian 9th Division who had liberated Borneo. At this spot now, at Layang Layangan, stands Peace Park, a large, beautiful, well-kept garden incorporating lakes, sculptures, and colourful tropical growth. At the entrance, etched into a substantial rock slab, are the words, "Peace is best." The park was established by Japanese people, not the Japanese government, and is still privately funded and maintained. This journey has been an unforgettable, emotional and rewarding one, with a good bunch of people. There have been moments of contemplation, tears shed and jokes cracked. Altogether a wonderful experience for all of us to remember.